Lagarde representing the appellant, Charles Bauer representing the respondent, Jennifer Sindeley. Mr. Bauer, you may present the appellant's opening argument. You're on mute, sir. Mr. Bauer, you're on mute. There you go.
Yes, thank you, Judge. I realized the recording, the little recording box that comes up doesn't allow you to do anything until you click OK on it. So I've learned that previously, but thank you. And may it please the court, counsel. My name is Charles Bauer. I represent Laurent Delagarde, who is a Frenchman who lives in Boise. He's a permanent resident, works for Apple Corporation remotely in Boise. This case raises the issue of the fit parent and their reasonable right to engage in activities with their child, including travel during their period of custody, and how a court can or should limit that right and that ability of a fit parent to travel with their child when there is no evidence supporting a risk or danger, a meaningful risk or danger to that child. In our case, a travel ban was imposed, and I use that term because, as the district court found, the limitations placed on my client's custody time of a maximum of 5 days consecutive at any point during the year, together with the requirement that the mother of the child would have a veto, essentially would have to be able to consent to any travel document, whether U.S. travel or France or French passport. The combination of those and each of those essentially consists of a travel ban or constitutes a travel ban, as the district court found. And this was imposed without evidence of any requirement that this child should be restricted in this way. There was no evidence that such a ban was in the child's best interest. Here, the trial court imposed two limitations, as I said, forbidding the child from having a passport without the consent of the mother. And the mother explicitly testified that she would not consent, and in fact testified that she didn't think the child should be able to travel to France until the child was 14. Child is now five. The mother also requested and was granted, actually she didn't request, she was granted a restriction in the sense that the father's time limitation, the father's vacation periods with this child were explicitly directed to never exceed five overnights. And he was given five overnights once a year with this child. His normal custody periods consist of Friday to Sunday, three times a month. He has a Tuesday evening visit, but as you can see, the restriction on the father to no more than five consecutive nights once a year is not does not have a corollary with the mom, because the mother has a 7 day period at least two times in a month when she exercises her custody after his weekend periods are done. He has the second, third, and fourth weekend of each month. So between his last weekend and the next weekend of the next month, there are two 7 day periods that the mother would have exclusive right to travel or do whatever. So the limit on the father's vacation constitutes a travel ban, as the district court found in this case. The district court also found that these two elements, the restriction on the days, the consecutive days, and the essentially giving the mother a veto over the father's right to have a passport, does restrict his ability and essentially prevent him from traveling with the child to his native land of France. The court did find and was presented evidence, that he is very close with his family. His elderly parents in France are not easily able to travel. He has a child in France from a previous relationship who is almost an adult. And although that child does travel here, it's his desire, naturally, to be able to visit his native land with his daughter and expose her to the culture and the land of his birth and his family. The court found that the child has some familiarity with his family, having done video visits with his grandparents and so forth. Nevertheless, this restriction was imposed. And I would say this actually was not even something that the mother had explicitly asked for. It was just imposed after the trial court found that Mr. Delagarde would not be permitted to leave the country. She did not include that in the actual final written judgment, but it's in the transcript of her oral findings. And then the final judgment states that the visits or the vacation cannot be more than 5 days, together with the restriction on my client's ability to obtain a passport.
Mr. Bauer, excuse me. Is there anything in the record, perhaps I missed it, about what is required by French law to obtain a passport for a minor of this age? I believe in the United States, both parents must consent in order to get the passport. In which case, you know, if French law is similar, then this is really not a requirement that's being imposed by the magistrate, but a requirement that would be imposed by French law that, you know, the magistrate can't really avoid by entering some ruling here in Idaho. Was there anything in the record about what the requirement is to obtain a French passport for a minor of this young age?
There was not, Judge. There was not. We did not address that. And frankly, I think we were more focused on the benefits of French citizenship for this minor child, about which I don't think there's a dispute. As far as the travel documents, it may well be that the parents would need to consent, but I think the court has the authority to reasonably require the parents to do that where it's appropriate for the child's best interest. But no, specifically, Madam Justice, it was not in the record. Thank you.
Thank you.
The father, as I mentioned, has his heritage in France, grew up there, worked there. The parties to this case, in fact, visited there. The mother received medical care under the French system, free medical care. There are some significant benefits to the child's being able to be part of that heritage with citizenship documents. And as I mentioned, I don't think there's a dispute about that. The issue is just being able to travel to France with the child. Idaho cases, interestingly, have often affirmed a fit parent's right to travel with a child, often in the context of restricting a relocation of a parent, relocation of a child, and pointing to the travel ability that a parent has when the child is in their care as a fundamental part of the parenting relationship. And I've cited those cases in the material. Other states looking at this question have pointed to this question of a travel ban or a restriction, have pointed to the Troxell versus Granville case, the U.S. Supreme Court case, addressing the right of a fit parent to control and exercise care, and the presumption that a fit parent acts in the child's best interest in such matters as travel and so forth, and controlling who the child visits or has contact with. Here, the trial court's restriction on the father's vacation time is not only unusually short, but it has the effect of indirectly constituting a travel ban to France, because it's simply impractical, as the district court discussed, simply impractical for, especially with a young child, to travel overseas for a meaningful visit in just 5 days. That's really an impractical obstacle. And the district court comments about that in response to the argument that there's nothing in here that actually says he can't go to France. Well, as a practical matter, the five-day restriction does that. And as I say, it's unusual in my experience for a five-year-old to be restricted to a five-day period once during a year. Very commonly, children in shared custody relationships, and again, this is a shared custody relationship. The fact is that children at this age, 5 years old, often enjoy longer periods than five nights with one parent for vacation.
Mr. Bauer, at the time of the court's decision, how old was the child?
I believe that it's been a year and a half. I'm looking here. Yeah, the child turned five this summer, so the child was a little older than three at the time of the decision.
Is this court's analysis limited to the magistrate court's findings of best interest for the child at age three? I mean, really, there's no way we can evaluate the best interest now at 2 years later, is there? Isn't the remedy for that modification?
It is, yes. There's no dispute about that. However, the restriction is, I think, the point. The restriction is the point, because a five-day restriction, whether the child's three or five, the restriction is not related to the child's age. The court's findings do not say that it's because of the child's young age. And the difficulty in a modification would be, other than the passage of time, what basis for a change in circumstances would there be where this is simply entered as a restriction in the original decision without reference to the child's age, and again, without reference to any meaningful condition or circumstance related to the child's relationship with her father, all of which were found to be significantly positive, strong bond as a basis for the shared custody relationship, which the court ordered. My client has the first three weekends of every month, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, plus a Tuesday evening with this child. It's a shared custody parenting schedule by all other indications, except for this five-day restriction on vacation. And again, there's nothing in the substantive findings or in the evidence to justify the restriction other than the court's oral finding that father should not be allowed to take the child out of the country.
What was the father's request? What did he request by way of vacation?
Well, his request was for the ability to travel to France and a time that would permit that to occur, which I think would be 7 days at a minimum. He wasn't requesting a specific longer period, but the 7 day was kind of what we felt was a minimum. What he testified, was needed to be able to do that.
Thanks.
There are, I would point out, there's no corresponding restriction on the mother. The travel that the mother does have consecutive 7 day or 7 day periods that she can travel without interruption. So the 5 days is problematic from that standpoint, as there's no corresponding restriction on the mother.
Counsel, would yeah. Would the mother have to get the agreement of the father to get a passport should the mother wish to take the child out of the country?
She would, but there's no need for her to, other than for pleasure, there's nothing that ties the mother to a foreign country, unlike the father. And sure. So that was the specific point in the trial. In fact, a good part of the trial testimony was spent on this question of his interest in and desire to have his child experience his French culture.
Thank you.
Mr. Bauer?
Yes.
Could the mother forever refuse to consent to the passport, or does the magistrate at some point have the ability to effectively require her to consent?
I believe the magistrate does have that authority. It would be in the form of a modification request to change or to require a parent to consent, or alternatively to order that one parent has the ability to make that decision solely. But I think the case law has suggested that, and I know that the mother is arguing that it's a part of joint custody that my client agreed on by agreeing to joint custody, that he's bound to have to get the mother's permission. But I think if the mother unreasonably refuses to give that permission, the trial court does have the ability to require that. It's the corollary, it's the conjunction of these two, the 5-day restriction and the passport. Without substantive evidence in the record that shows that these restrictions are in the best interest of the child, that the time restriction for travel, and again, the 5-day restriction seems to only have the purpose of restricting his travel. There's really no other reason to restrict him to 5 days and once a year again, other than the magistrate's express intent in her oral findings to not allow him to leave the country with the child. Thank you. My time has substantially expired, so thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bauer. Ms. Schindler, you may present the respondent's argument.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Jennifer Schindler. I represent the respondent mother in this matter and did at the trial level as well. The child at issue here is named Fern. Fern was just 2.5 years old when the parties began the divorce litigation. As the court pointed out, Fern was 3 when the parties went to trial before a judge to determine what physical custody schedule was in Fern's best interest. And before any evidence was presented that morning at the day of trial, the parties in this case stipulated to a schedule in which they would alternate holidays, the holidays consisting of periods of time of less than 24 hours. So for example, Christmas was from 10 a.m. One day until 10 a.m. the following day. The parties also stipulated prior to any evidence being presented to being awarded joint legal custody. And when I went back and looked at the original pleadings, the petition and the answer and counterclaim, that's what both parties pled for. They both pled for an award of joint legal custody. Joint legal custody means that the parties agreed at the time to make major decisions regarding Fern's education, health, and well-being together, jointly. The magistrate accepted the stipulation, and the parties then proceeded to present evidence on the remaining issue, which was really what physical schedule, what day-to-day schedule would be in Fern's best interest, and what vacation time would be allotted to father, which ultimately, as we know, ended up being the 5 non-consecutive nights. let me rephrase that, five nights in a row, I apologize. Today, Father calls the magistrate's decision regarding the vacation days, a ban on travel. In fact, it's not a ban on travel. I would agree that it is a restriction, but I don't think there's anything that indicates that Father is prohibited from traveling. There's nothing that indicates that Father is prohibited from traveling with Fern.
Counsel, do you think it's a ban on international travel? I mean, isn't that the point of the argument when it's referred to as a ban on travel? Not that it's a ban on travel within the United States, but that he is prohibited or prevented effectively from taking the child to France?
I don't think that that's a ban that the trial court imposed. I think that that's something that the parties themselves imposed by agreeing to joint legal custody and agreeing that they would make a decision jointly as to whether or not the child traveled internationally.
So I would have a follow-up question similar to the one that I asked Mr. Bauer, and that is, could your client forever withhold her consent to the child getting a passport?
I think in theory my client could, but as this court pointed out and counsel acknowledged, the magistrate continues to hold jurisdiction over children until they're 18 or emancipated. And so that's an issue that could be brought back before the trial court. If my client was unreasonably withholding consent, then that would rise to the level of a material substantial change that would allow the court to modify that provision or to modify, essentially would modify the award of joint legal custody. And the magistrate recognized that at the very end of her oral decision, she says, if there's any problems moving forward with, and I'm not quoting, if there are issues with moving forward with respect to the passport, come back. You're welcome to come back and we'll address this at a later point in time.
So that's the remedy, is maybe every year the father could go back and try and get a passport if the mother does not consent?
If father believes that mother is unreasonably withholding consent, I believe that is the remedy.
Thank you.
The district court addressed the question of whether the limit on vacation days was a ban on travel by referring back to the magistrate's findings and the law that was cited by the magistrate as well as the district court. The district court did indicate that the number of days had the effect of restricting travel, but that restriction was within the broad range of discretion that the magistrate had. The right to travel is a fundamental right, and nothing in the judgment and decree interferes with father's personal right to travel. The judgment and decree does not prohibit travel expressly, either with or without Fern. And this is important because that judgment and decree is our enforcing document. That's the document that we rely on, that our clients rely on in being able to have a remedy with respect to being able to force what the magistrate ordered. Regardless, that fundamental right to travel can be altered, case law has found, when the individual is a parent and a decision is made in the best interest of the children. So a child's best interest is a compelling government interest, and the right to travel may be rightfully affected by any finding that the court can find in the best interest of the child. The district court found that the father's right to travel was restricted, but again, that restriction fell within the discretion of the magistrate. With respect to the passport, I know that that was argued by counsel. We briefly discussed the award of joint legal custody. The parties had not obtained a passport for Fern when they were together, when they were married. And so when they stipulated to joint legal custody, they knew that that would be an issue going forward. absent one party being awarded sole legal custody, both parents have to consent to obtaining a passport. That has nothing to do with the court's ruling. It has to do with the Department of State's rules that require both parents to consent, or a court order awarding one party sole legal custody, even if it's just over that decision. Again, the parties in this case stipulated to joint legal custody, meaning that they had to agree to make that decision jointly. The district court found that the magistrate acted within her discretion and again recognized that at some point in the future, the magistrate may need to address the issue of the passport.
Is it fair to say that based on the comment you just made, the magistrate anticipated that the child should get a passport at some time in the future? Like that she assumed that at some point the mother would consent to the passport? If she invited the parties to come back, if it became an issue, does that suggest that she assumed the mother at some time would consent?
I believe that the court acknowledged that it was father's desire to expose the child to his culture and perhaps to travel internationally. The court encouraged the parties to expose the child to French culture, which is where the court came down and ordered that the child should participate in the French preschool. The court recognized there were other ways to expose the child to the culture. I can't say what the court was thinking, but I do think that the court recognized the benefits of that heritage and culture and thought that perhaps at some point in the future it would be appropriate. But again, the court has to deal with the facts at the time of trial. The court can't speculate as to how the child's going to be doing in 2 years or 5 years.
Did mom oppose the child attending a French preschool?
That's sort of an interesting fact because at the time the preschool hadn't actually opened. It was more of in theory, if there's this idea of a French preschool opening. No, mom did not oppose. And when the school opened, the child went to French preschool.
And I think it's my understanding that the mom and dad had traveled to France together at some point.
Prior to the child being born. So I think initially in their relationship, they had been in France together.
Is there anything in the record about the purpose of that trip? Was it to visit dad's family or his other child?
I don't recall, Your Honor, whether there was anything in the record. I know that dad's other child, there was evidence presented that other child came to the United States to visit, and that's where the child met Fern and was exposed to Fern. And there was evidence in the record that the parties had Fern participate in video conferencing with family back in France so that she at least had some recognition of her family there. I am running short of time, but I just briefly want to address the issue of attorney's fees. We did request attorney's fees under 12-121, which, as this court knows, is an action that's deemed frivolous or without foundation, is when attorney's fees can be awarded. They were denied at the district court level. But I believe that the district court's reasoning was semi-flawed. It said that a father's attempt to spend more time with his daughter and to integrate her into his family is not a frivolous or unreasonable appeal. I would argue that a parent's appeal in an effort to gain more time with a child while merely second-guessing the magistrate is in fact frivolous and unreasonable. Just because a parent is seeking additional time, if there's no legal basis to file an appeal, it could be frivolous and unreasonable. To conclude otherwise would result in this court opening the floodgates to every parent who desired more time with a child, to appeal the magistrate's decision, which inevitably can and would lead to abuse through the judicial system to the lower income earning party, or at the very least would allow bullying through the judicial system to obtain results that are not in the child's best interest. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Bauer, you may present the appellant's reply. You're on mute, sir.
Trying to be diligent in maintaining my muted status. Thank you very much, Mr. Justice and Madam Justices. May it please the court. I think the point about this being within the broad discretion of the trial court is really essential to look at. This case presents, I think, the rather starkly, the need to balance the trial court's wide discretion with the need to tread carefully when imposing limits on a parent's rights, when a on a parent's abilities to do activities with their child, to engage in beneficial things such as travel with their child during custodial time. I don't think this is a valid exercise of the trial court's discretion and take issue with the district court on that point, because it's not an exercise of reason to say that here is a parent with a strong bond, close bond, entitled to shared custody, entitled to a substantially sharing of the custody, specific findings of the bond that exists and so forth. But we will limit that parent to no more than five consecutive days ever after finding that this parent should not be allowed to travel out of the country to his native land. The case law that I've cited at length, there really are no cases in Idaho that address this specific issue. When is it appropriate? What is the evidentiary standard? What should be the evidentiary standard when restricting a parent? I think we can agree, as the district court did, that this is essentially a restriction, on international travel. And to do that—
Mr. Bauer, sorry for the interruption. Did you present that same case law to the magistrate? The magistrate have an opportunity to consider that case law in terms of her ruling?
Well, that's an interesting question. We did raise the issue in our motion to amend the findings and so forth. So I believe we did essentially raise the question of whether of there needing to be an evidentiary basis to restrict a parent. Yes. I believe so, Judge, Madam Justice.
Counsel, if the magistrate had granted seven consecutive days instead of five, we'd still be here on this appeal, wouldn't we?
That's a good question. I probably, possibly, my client would have wanted to ask this same question, but I would have had a much more difficult time recommending that he go forward, candidly, because I think an international trip would be possible in a 7-day block. And you may
without a passport or the agreement of the mother relative to the joint custody status?
Well, correct. We would not be able to do it without a passport, but we could address that issue, as has been discussed, in the context of the mother's likely refusal to show that that's an unreasonable refusal. That would be a discrete motion that I think, if he otherwise has the ability, time-wise, I think it would be something that I would be somewhat confident of success in that. It's the two-prong issue here of the restriction on the passport together with the restriction on the time that the trial court imposed, Mr. Justice.
Thank you.
So again, the time, this argument that at some point in the future, we can come back. As the district court put it, time will tell. And my concern there is that it does not seem to be an exercise of reason for the trial court to simply say, you can't do it and you can come back later if you think you have a good enough reason to do it, when in fact there is nothing in the record to support the restriction on my client being able to travel to France in terms of the time. I recognize, and there is case law that talks about this issue of the joint legal custody nature of the passport, and I think that has to be dealt with perhaps separately. I don't think he agreed that he should not have a passport. I think that the mother's expressed an avowed intention not to permit it would support and should support a decision now to say that the father should have the ability to do that. The stipulation to joint custody does not restrict the court from looking at the evidence, and the evidence in this case was clear of the intent and the desire and the appropriateness of him traveling with his daughter to his family home, to his home of origin. The restrictions under the guise of joint custody are unreasonable where they are not supported in the best interest of the child. There is no evidence of danger. There is no evidence of threat or harm. In fact, there is the opposite evidence. And going forward to say that, well, he can always come back to court, I don't think that's a reasoned decision or a reasoned basis for the exercise of discretion in this situation. If there's no further questions, that is the conclusion of my presentation.
Hearing none, thank you, Mr. Bauer. The court appreciates the briefing in this matter and the arguments of counsel today. This matter will be taken under advisement and a written opinion will be issued in due course. The court will be in recess until our 10:30 oral argument. Thank you, counsel.